Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Robin Strasser on Star Dish. Let's dish.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Star Dish Radio. Today is May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. I know a lot of people celebrate it. I really don't. I don't, you know, it's just another day to me, but you know what? Happy Cinco de Mayo to those who do celebrate. I'm Joanne, your host. Few things that I want to touch on before we get started. Our guest tonight is the magnificent Sean Kanan, who has a fabulous acting career. Deacon Sharp on Young and the Restless, and he was in The Karate Kid 3 with Ralph Macchio and a whole bunch of other stuff. So he's going to be here talking about not just the soaps, but bullying also. I'm going to put a link into the chat room. This is a charity that he is very heavily involved in, and it's a great one to be involved with, which is the Anti-Defamation League. I want to say hi to John and Polish Princess in the chat room. There's the link for you. Check out that. My Twitter is popping up in my chat room. Make sure you check that out and see what he's involved in. It's a magnificent thing. He went in. Oh, let's see. Let me type in here. They're having some problems with the sound. Refresh your browser. Well, if I could spell. Sorry. Last night we had Jill Larson on the show. If you did miss that show, please go and download it either on iTunes or at the Blog Talk Radio /Stardish blogtalkradio.com/stardish page. Jill was very insightful into not just her soap career, but how she found out, you know, about the cancellations and a few other things that are must-listens, as well as last week we had Eileen Christian and Robin Strasser and Katherine Hicklund and a surprise from Debbie Reynolds. How cool was that? It was definitely a fun show to be a part of. So I'm actually going to bring on, while we're waiting for Sean to call in, I'm going to bring on a caller, which is John, and I did not get to pick him up last night because we were so busy on the phone. John, welcome back to Star Dish.
Hey, Joanne, how are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
Pretty good. Just had a birthday, so I'm going strong. Yes.
Oh, you did. I did post on your Facebook page. Yes, you did. Happy birthday.
Yes.
So what did you do for your birthday?
Just money, and that's all I basically wanted. I buy my own stuff,
that's okay.
You know.
Well, there you go. You know what? You can't go wrong with a money gift. That's what I
exactly.
say.
Exactly.
Let them buy what they want, and then they're happy. You don't have to worry about getting a receipt, returning something. I think money
exactly.
and gift cards are the best way to go.
Yeah, people have been asking, like, what size I wear for stuff. I'm like, I'll just buy it my own self. Thank you.
Exactly. Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad. So you're obviously on hold to talk to Sean. What is it that you want to know from him? I mean, we're still waiting for him to call in, but talk to me a little bit about how you followed his career and what – your admiration.
Well, it's kind of
actor.
Funny because I first saw him in The Karate Kid 3, and then,
mm-hmm.
of course, I've been watching soap operas since 1990, basically all of them. So I remember him from GH, of course, first, and then I saw a little bit of Sunset Beach, and then I saw most of his first run of B&B. I've been kind of going back and forth on that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I loved his stuff on Y&R with Nikki, so, you know. So I've been watching him for, like, 20 years now, and it's kind of funny because, and I actually want to ask him what he thinks about this, because I don't know if he knows it's out there, but a friend of mine bought me the Revenge of the Nerds anniversary DVD, and on there
mm-hmm.
is the pilot for the TV show they shot in 1990, I think, for Fox, and Sean Kanan was in that pilot, and I didn't even realize that. I was like, that's very interesting, you know. So, just interesting how, you know, because people think, oh, they're just soap stars, so, you know, they're not recognizable, but, you know, you see them all
the time. Right, right.
So,
no, you know. You're right. Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
And he still looks the same,
oh, that's
too.
Pretty
it's really weird.
He really does. I was, you know, while I was doing my prep for this show and just looking at different things, I saw that basically his pictures just don't change at all.
Nope.
Not at all. He does not change. So I thought that was pretty funny.
And then today I'm just trying to go through the whole GH crap, the whole, you know, rumors about it being canceled, Katie Couric and all that stuff. So,
well,
I mean,
what are your thoughts on that while you're
well,
on the phone?
Well, to be honest, I don't want any of these shows to be canceled, but let's not be naive here. ABC does not want daytime drama. Disney doesn't, whoever,
right.
I don't, Disney, ABC, whoever it is. You know, they've been trying to get out of that since 2003 when they first canceled Port Charles. I'm surprised they didn't
right.
do it a lot faster. But me personally, I think what they did was, for some reason, Brian Franz really seems to like All My Children in General Hospital. So it seemed like he took the time to dismantle those shows by micromanaging all his, you know, stuff. And the fact that he didn't like One Life to Live, he didn't think too highly of it. That's the only reason why that show technically still resembles what it always has been. You know, because he left it alone for the most part, you know. But, like, all the Quartermains are off General Hospital. They're all dead or in an attic somewhere. You only hear about Monica being paged, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's really sad, you know. And it's like, well, if ABC doesn't want him, maybe another network will want him. But then, you know, I don't really – I would love it, but I don't really know the feasibility or the marketing plan or the business plan a network would have to pick these up. And will they look the same if they do, you know?
Right.
Or will they just
right,
be the
right.
same name but wholly different characters? You know what I mean? So
yeah, yeah.
That's,
well,
you know,
it's definitely
a
sad thing. It is. It is. No one wants to see this come to an end. I mean, but like you said, I don't believe that ABC Daytime wants daytime anymore. It's not their bread and butter. They'd rather just fill it, you know, like with filler air, you know, just to fill the time until, you know, their prime time shows come on. But you know what? If these protests are successful, you know, which I think they will because enough fans have band together, I think it may make a difference in the ratings and they might just see, you know what, damn, you know, we bit the hand that fed us and now we're in big trouble. You know,
worse comes to worse, they at least go out with better ratings than they have ever had in a long time. And then somebody somewhere else is like, wait a minute, this increased by this percentage. Maybe I should look to start doing daytime drama on my network and at least continue
exactly.
the genre, you know.
Well, so. yeah. No, I mean, I think it would be a smart move for NBC. I mean, all they're doing is airing repeats of The Housewives. I mean, and you could see those repeats of The Housewives on
Bravo.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. So, all right, well, I'm going to put you back on hold, and I'm going to take the next caller. Thank you so much for calling in, and I will get you on the line with Sean as soon as we get him on the line.
Sounds cool. Thanks.
All right, John, thanks. Well, again, Sean Kanan is our guest tonight, and he's got some important stuff to talk about with the Anti-Defamation League, and we're going to get his take on the cancellations and all that good stuff, and he's got some appearances coming up in New York, and we're going to get to him. Matter of fact, we're going to get to him right now. Mr. Sean Kanan, welcome to Star Dish Radio.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so sorry I'm calling in late. We had a temporary loss of the number, so it's all good now.
Oh, okay. That's quite all right.
I was rifling through my old messages and emails to find the call-in number, so I apologize. And I'm in a restaurant.
Oh.
I hope it's not too loud, but I'm going to kind of do this interview while I'm having dinner, if you don't mind.
Oh, you are crazy.
I know.
That's okay. That's all right. I feel bad now that you're eating dinner and we're taking
your dinner. No, not at all. It's my pleasure to do this. I should have scheduled things a little bit better, but it's all good.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, and We have fans, you know, that want to ask you questions. But let's start off with a little bit about that the Anti-Defamation League. Talk to me about that and what you did with Congress.
Well, the Anti-Defamation League is one of America's premier civil rights organizations. They're very committed towards, you know, eradicating prejudice, racism, anti-Semitism. Specifically, I've been involved with their efforts towards combating bullying and cyberbullying. And, you know, I think the genesis of my getting involved with that was that I was basically watching television one day, and I had seen yet another story of some young kid who took their own life because they just didn't feel that there was any alternative and that there was no one really listening to them, and they were victims of bullying. And I started literally yelling at the television, and I realized very quickly that I wasn't doing anything about it, and that, you know, apathy is really one of the biggest evils that you know, we face in our society. And so I received an email from the Anti-Defamation League to get involved, and I decided to actually follow up on it. I got involved and was very quickly asked if I would like to participate in a leadership program that they have. And the program culminates in Washington, D.C. Several weeks ago, we had the National Convention for the Anti-Defamation League. And it was really interesting because, you know, there were whatever your political affiliations are, there were people from, you know, both sides of the aisle. But we had John Lewis, who was a congressman who was the son of sharecroppers, Steny Hoyer, who was the minority whip, the Secretary of Education. And it really was, you know, very, I don't know, very empowering. And it just has solidified my commitment with the organization. And, you know, a lot of people know me from having played the bully in Karate Kid 3. And what they may not know, right, and what they may not know is that, you know, as a young kid growing up in Western Pennsylvania, I was a chubby kid. I was one of only five Jewish kids going to school, and I was very much the target of a lot of bullying. And I think that ultimately what those two experiences did for me was, you know, create a level of understanding and hopefully compassion. And, you know, working on a show like The Young and the Restless afforded me a springboard with which to, you know, bring some attention and some light to what I think are some pretty important issues, and hopefully, you know, everyone else does too.
Yeah, you know what, bullying has gotten worse. And I think that, you know, and this kind of brings it all back to television, I think, in general, because of a lot of the reality shows that are on now. They support, you know, violence, really.
Absolutely.
If you think about it, if you look at MTV, it's no longer a music television network.
Well,
I mean, I remember sitting in my friend's living room watching the Moon Man shoot off for the first time.
Right.
And
right.
So excited because we had a music video channel. But now it's
right.
Nothing but Teen Mom and
well,
Pregnant
you know,
This.
Well, you know, I don't want to contradict you, but I also thought very much the same way as you did. But I was very pleasantly surprised to see that at the final panel at the closing luncheon for the ADL event in D.C., there was a girl, and I don't remember her name. She was a young woman who was an executive at MTV. And she spoke at length about a lot of what MTV is trying to do specifically to involve themselves with education and combating bullying. And like you, there were people in the crowd who said, yeah, but some of your programming is actually, you know, part of the problem. And, you know, that put the person kind of on the hot seat, but they are at least taking, along with actually the Cartoon Network, they're doing some tremendous things to take active steps towards combating bullying. So I get what you're saying, but I do have to at least, you know, give them some props for making some effort.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they're doing stuff behind the scenes, that's great, you know, but they got to come correct with the programming because people are seeing the programming.
Right.
Like, I'm not seeing what's behind the scenes. You know, like, if
right.
you didn't tell me that, I would never know that, you know.
Right, and you know, and you know what, I wouldn't have known it either.
Yeah,
I would have thought exactly what you thought, right?
I think part of it
is a bit of a pandemic that's facing specifically our country, where often entertainment is catering to the lowest common denominator, that it's trying to tap into some kind of negative you know, biological fascination for wanting to watch violence and a lot of the other crap that's going on, and it's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we as a culture need to be better than that. And I'm not for censorship at all. I mean, I'm not trying to say, hey, don't put this on TV and don't put that. I think it's a very slippery slope. But I think that we need to start cultivating a culture where we don't see, you know, like on the news a week ago or 2 weeks ago, where two adult men were urging their two boys literally to beat the crap out of each other. You know, and that ridiculous show, the, what is it, the pregnant teen mom or whatever it is, when she's getting a fight in her front yard. I mean, it's, you know, it makes me embarrassed to watch TV to see that sort of stuff.
Right, yeah, it does. It definitely. As a matter of fact, one of the girls from that show, Teen Mom, is actually going to stand trial for one of the episodes that they had. She was beating up her baby's daddy, and you know what? The police took action, and the DA took action, and they arrested her, and she got arrested for domestic violence. And now she's pissed off because she has to stand for charges. Well, you know what? That's what happens in the real world.
Yeah. Yeah, tough nuggies, right? I mean, really. Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, I think that with the bullying, it really starts with teachers and parents becoming more vigilant, looking for signs. And if a kid comes up to you and says, "Hey, listen, you know what? I'm getting picked on," you got to take that stuff seriously. And more than that, you have to realize that that may be the one opportunity that a child takes to come clean and say, "Hey, look, I got a problem." And if it's not met with, you know, a non-judgmental openness, they might not try again. They may wind up being a statistic and, you know, join the ranks of those other dozen or so kids that have taken their own life over the last year and a half.
You know what? You're absolutely correct. I posted a link in the chat room, guys. It's www.adl.com. I couldn't find them on Twitter or Facebook. I don't know if they're even participating in that, but on their website I didn't find anything from it. But you can go to ADL.com.
Yeah, it's actually ADL.com and I believe ADL.org. www.ADL.org, I believe.
All right, I'm going
to
put it
in. And if people would like to follow me on Twitter, whenever I'm doing something for the ADL, in addition to stuff for my career, I let everybody know through my Twitter, which is Sean Kanan at Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes, I put that in there, too.
You know, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm 41. As a kid, I didn't encounter bullying. A fight was a fight was a fight, and that was the end of it. You know, you washed your hands of it. I think things are much more vicious now than when, you know, I was a kid.
But I think
there's
a difference between a fight. There's a difference between, you know, two kids who have a difference or, you know, going to meet behind the school and have at it, than a campaign of, you know, protracted and focused abuse towards one individual who's disempowered by either someone bigger or a group. And that can either be, you know, from xenophobia or racism or sexual orientation. But now, you know, there's a whole other layer to this, which is cyberbullying, because, you know, back in the day, you know, we didn't have that stuff, you know, for you and for me. And now kids don't just get bullied from the beginning of school until school is over. It's 24/7, and with one keystroke, people's, you know, humiliating and cruel and potentially dangerous comments can be disseminated to an entire school.
You're absolutely right.
Geometrically more damaging.
You know, my son, I'm from New York. I have two kids, and both of my children are mixed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and my youngest son is 10. My oldest son never had an issue that he told me about to the point where, you know, he felt he was being bothered or whatever, because he was primarily raised in New York, in the east side of New York, I should say.
Right.
And I eventually moved to the west side of New York towards Buffalo area.
Okay.
And Buffalo is still, certain areas of Buffalo, I should say, suburbs of Buffalo, are still very predominantly white and no racial mixtures whatsoever. So we took our shot up there, and this was about 2-3 years ago. My son is in a classroom with maybe two other children of minorities. The rest is completely white bread the whole way. He got bullied day after day after day after day. He came home crying day after day after day. I went to that school day after day after day. They hated me in that school. They hated me with a passion, and I honestly could care less. Because
but you know what? You did,
the
right thing.
Saying, oh, yeah. Listen, I don't care what color you are. You ain't bullying nobody around me. That's just the way that it is. But when it comes to my kids, that's a whole other story. But I went to that school, and they begged me not to use that word bully. I said, are you joking?
What are you going to call it?
Yeah, what is it? What
you know,
do you want to call?
There's still a lot of people that you have to educate that bullying is not just some rite of passage that all kids undergo. I mean, you know, and it's as much about educating, you know, educators and you know, school teachers as it is about parents, as it is about just as a culture, you know, starting to say, hey, this is not cool anymore. And the ADL has been very instrumental in creating curriculum to help educators really have a better understanding about, you know, how to combat it and how to deal with it. So you, you may have very well run up against a bunch, you know, a bunch of people who really just, you know, may not have known what to do and were afraid of the problem.
They were completely ignorant to the entire thing is what it was. And bottom line, I went to the teacher and I said, you know what? I said, well, the first time I walked into the classroom, nobody believed that I was his mother. Now, I'll tweet you a picture of what my kids look like. It's not a far cry from me. I mean, I'm blonde hair, blue eyed, but, you know, my children are very olive tone. I mean, they could even just dance for Italian kids. But none of these children believed that I was the mom. And that told me a lot about their upbringing, you know, that they were not exposed to any kind of other culture other than their own.
Other ethnicities,
you know? Yeah, so that brought a lot to the classroom, but by the end of that school year, the straw that broke the camel's back in that school was a child chased my son into the bathroom stall, undressed himself, and told my son to come out and get a look at his pichadiel because he was going to get him with it. And the school chose not to tell me that.
Wow.
I said, are you kidding? The only way I found out is because my son told me.
That's terrible.
And I was like, are you serious?
One thing I can suggest is it's real simple. You know, if anyone wants to contact the ADL, parents, teachers, anything, you know, they've got one specific outreach group, which is specifically trained people to go and speak about the issues that the ADL deals with. And I'm more than certain that they would send somebody out gladly to go address an assembly. And you know, I mean, and you know, it's a non-profit. They're not going to be looking for money. They're going to come out. They're going to send somebody to speak and hopefully educate both kids and you know, and the adults. So I urge anybody who's having a problem like this to go online, you know, find a contact number, and you know, somebody will respond and they will come out and they'll speak.
Absolutely. You know, guys, if you go on that ADL website, there is a section there where it gives you to find a chapter in your area. So you just go in and it pulls it right up. I didn't even have to punch in a zip code. As soon as I hit it, it knew exactly where I was and told me where to go. So go ahead and check that out as well. Now, you got a couple appearances I want to mention real quick. Christian LeBlanc and you at Uncle Vinny's on May 15th.
We're going to be there at Uncle Vinny's May 15th, and we're going to be at the brokerage. In Braymore, New York. Is it Belmore or Braymore?
Belmore.
Okay. I apologize. I should know if I've been there before. It's going to be a lot of fun, too. We're going to do a meet and greet. It's going to be a really good time. It's a chance for you know, Christian and I to interact with people that are fans of Young and the Restless and really enjoy that. I'm also going to be taping an episode of Red Eye for Fox next Thursday evening. I'm also starting a feature this Saturday, actually. I start a feature called My Trip Back to the Dark Side, which I'm really excited about. And Yeah, so lots of good stuff going on.
Oh, great. Yeah, well, that's good. You know, I wanted to touch on the soap cancellations with you. Being daytime is you know, a big part of your career. And, I mean, well, tell me your thoughts. I mean, just off the cuff and, you know, whatever you want.
Well, I mean,
my
basic take on it is twofold. You know, immediately, I empathize with all of those individuals that have lost their job, that have been on a show for a long period of time, for the fans that have supported the show. I think it's really sad. You know, as putting my producer hat on, unfortunately, you know, we're seeing an overall contraction in the daytime market. And if you will, it's a culling of the herd. Those shows with the lower ratings, unfortunately, got canceled, and it's really sad, but, you know, it becomes less expensive in some instances to produce other forms of daytime television. And it's simple mathematics. If the, you know, if the networks aren't able to charge enough money for the commercials during those shows, you know, they're not going to keep those shows on the air. It's just how it is. Fortunately, Young and the Restless is the highest rated show, and therefore they can, you know, they can charge more money for their you know, their ad spots. We just got picked up for another 2 years, but I mean, most of these people on these other shows are people that at one point or another I've come into contact with, either at the daytime Emmys or at some kind of you know, an event, and these are all people who, this is how they feed their families. And you know, to that end, there's another thing I'd like to add to that. You know, the fans are really great, and the fans are largely incredibly supportive of all of us. But sometimes, you know, you read in the message sites that fans will say, "Oh, I hate this character, get him off, fire him from the show." And you know, there's a line between who an actor is and the character that he or she plays. And when somebody says something really vitriolic like that, they may not realize that that person has, you know, children. And that's how they pay for their school and their food. And, you know, when they're lobbying to get somebody removed from a show, you know, you're directly screwing with their livelihood. And so I guess I would just urge people to voice their critique in a more constructive and empathetic way, if possible.
Oh, I agree. I completely agree. I mean, that's one rule of this show. You can't come on here and bash characters and actors, you know, because I know, I mean, although we may not be mainstream press, they listen to these podcasts to hear what the actors say and to hear what the fans say. So that's like a big rule here. You can't do it. You know, it's just not acceptable. You get kicked right off.
Right.
But being on General Hospital, now General Hospital is in the limelight now as another possible chopping block.
Really? I wasn't aware of that.
Well, now, reports have just come out today from different avenues, TMZ and a few others, that ABC is the last leg for Katie Couric, and she's in talks with ABC for a $20 million deal. Which will end up probably taking General Hospital spot.
Yeah. I mean,
so you can
you know,
see
and,
though where you know what, Katie. First of all, Katie Couric wasn't successful on CBS. Number one. Now a lot of people have been saying that, you know, people just aren't watching daytime anymore. I just think that the way they monitor it is incorrect, because I think a lot of people still watch daytime. But,
well, I agree, but you know, you have to also remember that we now have you know, people watching the internet for both entertainment and for their news.
Right.
You know,
we have
mediums exist now that didn't exist mainstream even 10 years ago, and you know, this is an unfortunate collateral damage of what is otherwise a really positive innovation in technology.
Right. Well, the fans, in words of the fans, is if they can afford to pay $20 million to Katie Couric and put a show on called The Chew with Mario Batali,
right,
they can definitely, you know, afford to keep their soap. Or at least do something with SoapNet. You know, I mean, they have SoapNet. Come on, Sean, for real. You created a channel called SoapNet, you know, and
right,
what are you airing on SoapNet? nine times out of ten, you'll turn on SoapNet and you'll see Beverly Hills 90210 repeats.
Right.
I mean, from the beginning to the end. How many times can you watch that? You know, rerun
Soap. I agree. I completely agree with you.
You know, so, and, yeah. And the ironic thing is they dismantled SoapNet, which is going to be now called Disney Junior.
Right.
And they're going to turn it into a 24-hour children's network. So they're taking SoapNet completely.
You know, I'm totally with you. You're preaching to the choir, but the fact of the matter is the networks are a business. And if soaps are the ones getting the best ratings, then we would have more soaps on TV, and it's just really unfortunate. I totally agree. And what I would urge everybody to do is to, you know, write into the networks, you know, write into the advertisers who advertise during the soaps, and it does make a difference.
Well, that's the intent, yeah. It does.
You know,
Hoover actually pulled their ads from ABC in response to the fans. So and so they're doing good things. They're doing protests and all that other stuff. So, I mean, they're definitely being very, very vocal about it. So
right.
With that being said, I'm going to bring back on a caller I had, John, who is hanging on to talk to you. John, say hi to Sean.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
Hi, John, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to say, because I've seen your stuff all the way back from Karate Kid 3 all the way through soaps, but a friend of mine, I just had a birthday, and a friend of mine bought me the DVD anniversary edition of Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh,
I think you might know where I'm going with this.
There is
a pilot
so
for
funny.
A TV show, and you're in it, and I didn't
but
realize
you want to say something? I got to say, it's so utterly funny that you're bringing that up, and I'll tell you why. This past weekend, I was hanging out with a friend of mine, Larry B. Scott, who played Lamar in The Nerds, and I didn't even remember it at first. And then I said, oh, my God, I think I did the pilot for Revenge of the Nerds, and my girlfriend started looking through the Internet, and she found that pilot. And it's the first time I'd ever seen that pilot, almost, what, 15 years later? So, yes, I was guilty as charged. I was a part of that That fine moment in the tapestry of American television.
That's just funny to me because I was like, "There's a pilot," and I was watching it. And I was like,
"Yeah,
I think
that's all there was with a pilot, John." I think the network wisely decided that. America didn't need to have 13 more episodes of Revenge of the Nerds, the TV show. Big fan of the movie, but.
Do you think you'll be doing more Young and the Restless?
I know I'll be doing more Young and the Restless. I actually just got booked to do another show at the end of this month because I'm kind of taking this month off while I do a feature. I'm on reoccurring status. I love working on the show, but, you know, I have not been working a great deal on the show. So, you know, that means that I have to keep my, you know, my possibilities open for other work. But, you know, as long as they keep writing it for me and I'm available, I'd like to continue because I love playing the part of Deacon. I think I'm fortunate enough to be a part of, you know, the best cast in daytime. And I feel really fortunate and I hope that I can continue doing it.
Well, maybe you'll share a scene or at least see Jeannie Francis since she's over there now. So I'm really looking forward to that. She starts at the end of this month.
Yeah, she sure is. She sure is. She's a terrific actress.
Well, okay, I don't want to take up all your time because I know you got more callers, but thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Yeah, that's pretty funny. I loved Lamar in Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, he's great.
He was the best one.
He's great, and then when he talks to people, they're very surprised to find out that he's got this very deep, very masculine voice, and you know, doesn't walk around in pink leg warmers.
Oh, yeah, this next caller is Pam. Pam, say hi to Sean.
Hey, Pam.
Hello.
Hi.
She's typing in the chat room again. She did this to me the other day. I caught her by surprise.
Okay.
Hello.
No, maybe. No, I can't really hear her.
Hi.
No, I'm sorry. Hi.
There she goes.
I'm here. Hold on. Let me turn it down again.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, there we go. I'm back.
Hi. Okay.
You always catch me off guard. Sean, I've been watching you for years on GH and Bold and the Beautiful and YNR. Just happy to see you around all the time.
Oh, thank you. Thanks very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
I also
that.
Want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, I can't tell you how much this radio show means to me right now with you talking about the bullying, because my son has been going through it, and he's a special needs child. He's in high school, and it's really bad. We've got him in therapy and seeing a psychiatrist and everything. So with that ADL link that you gave me, I will make some contact on there to find some help.
Yeah, maybe, you know, what are you doing as far as communicating with the school about the problem?
Oh, it's constant communication, constant. I'm a mother that has a big mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't let anybody step on my children at all. So immediately when I find out something, I'm on it, you know. But that's the problem.
Right.
You don't always find out.
Right.
You know what I mean? The kids don't want to talk to you about it.
Well, I understand. I mean, you know, it's sometimes they think that it's just going to get worse, that you're not going to understand.
Right.
It's you know, look, as any parent, it's difficult to watch your child in pain and not want to be proactive about it. So, you know, I think you're doing, it sounds like you're doing a lot of what, you know, you can be doing. I think staying in communication with the school and possibly trying to work to bring someone in to speak to them could be a really positive thing.
Oh, I would love to do that. I would absolutely love to do that, because he's mixed in with special needs children and mainstream children. And, of course,
okay.
It seems to be a lot of the mainstream children that are the ones that are the bullies against the special needs children.
Yeah,
you know,
that's just absolutely unacceptable.
It is. It is. It really is. There's a couple of the special needs children that are bullies too, but it's mainly the mainstream kids that are doing it.
You know, if you're not getting any satisfaction from the immediate school, you know, you may have to consider going over the school's head, talking with the superintendent, or you know, doing something like that, because the last thing somebody from that school wants is to have the superintendent breathing down their back. And you know, you have every right as a taxpayer to assume that your child is not only going to get an education, but it's going to be in a safe environment.
Right. And the thing is, he just started high school, so I'm dealing with a whole new school now, you know, and getting to know everybody there and trying to, you know, speak to all the right people. And it's just so huge compared to the middle school and the grade school that you just got to keep going up and talk to that one, this one, that one, this one, that one, and just gets to be like ring around the rosy.
Well, one thing you might consider is that each district has student advocates who are there to help. And, you know, you may have to find out who the student advocate in your area is and, you know, bring them up to speed with what's been going on and let them know that, you know, you're gonna get some help here. Or, you know, I would consider maybe going to the newspaper or something, doing something that's going to shine a light on this. Because, you know, you might think it's being like, you know, the mouthy mom, but it might be the exact thing that saves somebody's life or, really stops somebody from being in a lot of pain.
Exactly. I mean, I'm just terrified every time I see somebody, you know, one of the teens that have committed suicide because of all the bullying, or they've gone on a rampage and killed a bunch of people. You know, these are the kids that were picked on all their lives, and I don't want that to happen to my son, you know, either
absolutely
one.
Not.
God forbid.
No, I think it's tomorrow. That's what you should do. You should really get into trying to find the student advocate or, you know, giving the school one last shot. If not, say, look, I'm going to go to the superintendent or I'm going to go to the school board or do whatever you have to do that's going to, you know, put a light on this.
Now, where do you find a student advocate?
Where do you find the student advocate? I would start by doing is just calling the district, finding out there's going to be a district office for the school. I mean, I'm not an expert on that. I don't want to give you advice that might not be accurate, but I mean, I would just start being an investigator online and start putting in keywords. And I think sooner or later, it's going to start leading you to where you need to be.
Would the ADL.org people know?
They very well may be able to give you some information. Yeah, I would certainly call them, and I would certainly call and ask and see if they can give you some some guidance there.
Okay. I have one last question. Are you going to be in Chicago anytime soon? Because I would love for my son to meet you.
Oh, I'm not. I love Chicago. You know, I used to go to Chicago a lot when I was on General Hospital because that was a huge market for us. But
yeah,
I unfortunately don't have any immediate plans right now to be in Chicago.
Yeah, and I don't see me being in California or New York or anywhere soon.
Well, you can keep up with what I'm doing on Twitter. Sean Kanan,
I do follow you.
Twitter. Oh, good. Okay, and you know,
yeah.
I like to usually let people know what I'm doing and where I'm going, and hopefully at some point our paths will cross because it would be a pleasure to meet you and talk to you in person.
Oh, I would love to. I would really love to.
Okay.
And I look forward to seeing you on Young and the Restless some more. You're
Thank
a bad
you
guy,
very,
but you've got a sensitive
it.
Side.
Thank
My
you very
kind
much.
Of guy.
I appreciate it. All right. Take care.
All right. Take care. Thanks, Joanne.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome, Pam. Well, you made her night, and she was so excited to be able to talk to you about that. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. I had Jill Larson on yesterday, and we talked a little bit about that also, because One Life to Live actually is doing a storyline on bullying, and they're actually doing a pretty good job of it.
Who's doing it?
One Life to Live is doing a storyline.
Oh, really?
On
I wasn't
bullying.
Aware of that. Okay. That's
yeah, yeah. It's pretty well written, and you know, not over the top, but very realistic, and it's really good, and everybody's pretty much agreeing with that. So I'm glad that she got Trump. You know,
I am too. I mean, it's ripped right from you know our headlines, and I think it's great that it's one of the things I really like about soaps. They tend to be very socially reactive in a positive way. And, and it, you know, I mean, I remember when I was on General Hospital, I was a part of a big AIDS storyline. You know, I think soaps have always been at the forefront of tackling tough issues that you know, face us day to day in society. So I applaud them for creating that storyline. That's really great.
Well, absolutely. You know, and here's our crossing our fingers that they'll be able to continue doing that, at least on ABC. And, you know, at least we still have Y&R and B&B and Days of Our Lives to kind of look
right.
to also now. You know, so it's just about keeping the genre alive, and I think everybody's in survival mode right now, and they're doing everything they can to
I
try
totally
and keep
agree.
Them, you know, alive and well.
Let's hope for the best, but, you know, it's great to mobilize all the fans of the shows so that they take, you know, take some action and then let the networks know and the shows know that they want them to stay. And
absolutely.
You know, I think there's a lot to be said for a grassroots movement, and hopefully people will take the initiative to do that.
Sure, sure. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show tonight.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
And, you're welcome back anytime. I am going to let you go eat in peace and enjoy
okay.
your evening. And,
thank you so much.
Good luck in your upcoming appearances. And everybody follow Sean at Sean Kanan on Twitter. I know I am.
Thank
you guys better too. All right,
okay,
Sean, have a peaceful
everybody.
Night
thank
and
you.
We'll talk soon. Okay,
Take
thank
care.
You.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Sean Kanan, everyone. He was very informative, and I loved the conversation. I think that you guys can take away a lot of that who are interested in the bullying aspect of the conversation, and everybody should be interested is what I'm saying. Everybody should be interesting. If you go to adl.org, I'm sure that when you put in where you live and you find the chapter in your area, you'll probably be able to find out a lot of information. So you guys go and check that out. I'm ending the show now. I don't have anything scheduled as of yet. I have to say that One Life to Live actors have been put, as far as I know and from what I understand, I was told by a source that they are not allowed to do any more interviews unless it's approved by ABC Publicity. So I don't know if I will be talking to anybody else from One Life to Live. So I will have some things in the work. Please follow me on Twitter at Stardish Live. And also go to Facebook, punch in Stardish Radio, like the Facebook page. I'll post a link on Twitter as well. And I try and keep up with the website as much as I can, stardishradio.net. You could follow me on there also and see what's going on. So, with that being said, you guys go have a great night. Thanks for coming out, and follow me on Twitter for the next episode of Stardish Radio. Have a good night, everybody. Bye.
This is Jill Larson on Stardish Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.